I wonder if I did the right thing, letting Charlie Dart sneak away, she thought. If he or Takata Jim behave in a way I don't expect, what'll I do? A tiny light shone at the corner of her console. The NIS machine still wanted to talk to her. The light didn't flash urgent. Jillian decided to ignore it as she hurried out to supervise the move. Chapter 66 Aki. With aching muscles, Aki swam slowly out of the notch in which he had rested until dawn. He took several deep breaths and dove, scattering a school of brightly scaled fish-like creatures through shafts of morning light. Without thinking, he speared through the school and snapped up a large one, relishing its frantic struggle between his jaws. But the metal taste was bitter. He flipped the creature away, spitting. Red clouds spread a pink glow across the east as he surfaced again. Hunger growled in his compound stomachs. He wondered if the sound was loud enough to be picked up by his hunter. It's unfair. When Katha John finds me, he, at least, will have something to eat. Aki shook himself. What a bizarre thought. You're falling apart, Mitty. Katha John is no cannibal. He's a... A what? Aki remembered the final stretch yesterday at sunset, when he had somehow made it to the chain of metal mounds just meters ahead of his pursuer. The chase amidst the tiny islands had been a confusion of bubbles and surf and hunting cries. For hours after he had finally found a hiding place, he had listened to staccato bursts of sonar that proved Katha John had not gone far. Thought of the bosun sent chills down Aki's spine. What kind of creature was he? It wasn't just the irrationality of this death chase. There was something else as well, something in the way Katha John hunted. The giant sonar sweeps contained something malevolent that made Aki want to curl up in a ball. Of course, Stenos gene grafts might account for some of his size and irritability. But in Katha John there was more. Something very different must have gone into the bosun's genetic splice. Something terrifying. Something Aki, raised on Calathea, had never encountered. Aki swam close to the edge of the coral mound and stuck his jaw out beyond the northern verge. There were only the natural sounds of the Kithrip Sea. He hopped up on his tail and scanned visually. To go west or north? To Hikahi or Toshio? Better north. This chain of mounds might extend to the one where the encampment lay. It might provide cover. He dashed across the quarter-kilometer gap to the next island, then listened quietly. There was no change. Breathing a little more easily, he crossed the next channel, then the next, swimming quick bursts, then listening, then resuming his cautious passage. Once he heard a strange, complex chatter to his right. He lay motionless until he realized that it couldn't be Katha John. He detoured slightly to take a look. It was an underwater skirmish line of balloon-like creatures with distended air bladders and lively blue faces. They carried crude implements and nets filled with thrashing prey. Except for a few holos sent back by Denny Sudman and Saud, this was Aki's first glimpse of the Kithrip natives, the Kikwi. He watched, fascinated, then swam toward them. He had thought himself still far south of Toshio, but if this group was the same... As soon as they caught sight of him, the hunters squeaked in panic. Dropping their nets, they scrambled up the vine-covered face of a nearby island. Aki realized that he must have encountered a different tribe, one which had never seen dolphins before. Still, seeing them was something. He watched the last one climb out of sight. Then he turned northward once more. But when he passed the northern shore of the next mound, a sharp beam of sound passed over him. Aki quailed. How? Had Cathajan duplicated his logic about an island chain? Or had some demon instinct told him where to hunt his prey? The eerie call passed over him once more. It had mutated further during the night into a piercing, falling cry that set Aki shivering. The cry pealed again, nearer, and Aki knew he couldn't hide. That cry would seek him out in any cleft or cranny until the panic took hold. He had to make a break for it while he still had control over his mind. Chapter 67 Kipiru. The fight had begun in the pre-dawn darkness. A few hours ago, Kipiru realized that his pursuer's sled was showing no sign of failing. The engine screamed, but it would not die. Kipiru notched his own upward well beyond the red line, but it was too late. A short time later, he heard the whine of a torpedo homing in from behind. He zigged leftward and down, blowing ballast to leave a cloud of noisy bubbles in his wake. The torpedo streaked past and into the gloom beyond. An amplified squawk of disappointment and indignation echoed amongst the rills and seamounts. Kipiru was used to hearing primal obscenities from his pursuer. He had almost reached the line of metal mounds before which the two swimming dolphins had disappeared a few hours back. As he had drawn nearer, Kipiru had listened to the distant hunt cries and been chilled by a gnawing association that he couldn't bring himself yet to believe. It made him dread for Aki. Now Kipiru had his own problems. He wished Aki luck holding out until he could get rid of this idiot on his own tail. It was growing light overhead. Kipiru dove his sled behind a lumpy ridge, then throttled the engine back and waited. Moki cursed as the tiny torpedo failed to detonate. Teeth are better than things. He swung his jaw left and right. He had abandoned the sled sensors and was controlling the machine purely by habit. Where was the smart aleck? Let him come out and get it over with. Moki was tired and cranky and unutterably bored. He had never imagined that being a great bull could be so tedious. Moki wanted the hot, almost orgasmic rage back. He tried to call up the bloodlust again, but kept thinking about killing fish, not dolphins. If only he could emulate the savagery he had heard in Cathajan's hunt cry. Moki no longer hated the frightening bosun. He had begun to see the giant as a spirit creature of pure and evil nature. He would kill this smart-aleck tersiops and bring its head to Cathajan as proof of his worthiness as a disciple. Then he, too, would become elemental, a terror that none would ever dare thwart. Moki brought the machine about in a circle, keeping close to the seafloor to take advantage of shadows of sound. The tersiops had turned left at high speed. His turn had to be wider than Moki's, so all Moki had to do was hunt in the correct arc. Moki had been on guard duty when this chase began, so his sled had torpedoes. He was sure the smartass didn't have any. He whistled in eager anticipation of an end to the tedious chase. A sound. He turned so quickly he banged his snout against the plastic bubble dome. Moki gunned the sled forward, readying another torpedo. This one would finish his enemy off. A sheer drop opened into a broad ocean canyon. Moki took ballast and fell, hugging the wall. He throttled back and stopped. Minutes passed as the sound of muffled engines grew louder from his left. The oncoming sled was staying close to the cliff face at a greater depth. Suddenly it was below him. Moki chose not to fire right away. This was too easy. Let the smart aleck hear death suddenly fall upon him from behind. Too close to evade. Let him writhe in panic before Moki's torpedo tore his body into pieces.